Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Transmission Podcast. I'm Wendell, and we're back in Australia this week where I'm joined by Matt Grover, Director of Energy Markets at Fluence. Australia's national electricity market is home to some really big batteries, and there's plenty more on the way soon. However, ultimately, these things don't really do anything without having the right people in place and the right technology to actually tell them to do the right thing at the right time in the energy market. This is exactly what Fluence are doing in Australia, where they provide bidding services for batteries in the NEM. And so that's exactly what we're talking about in this week's episode, battery optimization or auto bidding, trading in the NEM. I'm a battery optimization nerd and I really enjoyed this conversation and I hope you will too. As always, if you're enjoying the show, please like, subscribe. It really helps us to grow our audience. So let's jump in. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the Transmission Podcast. Welcome to Sydney.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me and welcome Moto to the NEM.
Thanks. And yeah, really exciting to have you on because we're going to talk all about sort of optimization, auto bidding in the NEM, a topic which is something I find super interesting. But to start off with, I guess, can you just give a brief intro to yourself, to Fluence? What is their role in the NEM?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm Matt Grover. I'm the Director of Energy Markets at Fluence here in Australia. Bit about me. I've worked most of my career in the NEM, all of my career in wholesale electricity markets, mostly helping technology companies try and do new and innovative things in the wholesale market structures. So I worked the first half of my career on the demand side of the market, helping a global demand response aggregator do new and creative things on the demand side and making loads more flexible. And I've worked the second half of my career with AMS, now Fluence, which was an acquisition Fluence made 4 or so years ago, working to make the generation side of the market more flexible. We spent our first few years in the NEM working with wind and solar farms, helping them curtail to avoid negative prices. So I like to say that I've worked the first half of my career on the demand side, helping loads curtail to avoid high prices, and the second half of my career working on the generation side of the market, helping wind and solar farms and generators curtail to avoid negative prices. It's all kind of come full circle in the last few years since we've started working with grid-scale battery projects, which are the ultimate flexible asset in the market and chase opportunities on both the supply and the demand side.
Very briefly, I guess, you mentioned the acquisition of AMS by Fluence. Can you just very briefly just tell me what was the story behind that? And, you know, where does Fluence Digital now fit in within the wider Fluence organization?
AMS was a plucky little startup out of California that came to the NEM in 2019 to bring its new algorithmic bidding technology to the NEM, which we'll talk more about. It was acquired by Fluence a year and a half later, maybe in 2020, and we've been part of Fluence ever since. And if listeners know Fluence, they probably know Fluence from its position as a leading global supplier of battery energy storage systems. You know, Fluence will supply the technology and do the EPC work for a battery project. And they've done something like 38 gigawatt hours of projects built or in various stages of commissioning around the world. So Fluence is well known for that. So I don't work for that part of Fluence. I work for the digital division of Fluence, where we have two software products that we look after, software as a service offerings, one for asset managers, an asset performance management software product called Nispera. And the main product that I work on is called Mosaic, which is our algorithmic optimization and bidding platform for clean energy assets in Australia. And so we're working with a large proportion of the NEM's semi-scheduled wind and solar generation fleet, and also a growing proportion of its grid-scale battery fleet.
Awesome. And I mean, very quickly, what is the difference in that context between semi-scheduled, scheduled within the NEM?
Ah, that's NEM terminology. Mostly that just means big and grid scale in front of the meter, if you will. So in the NEM, any wind or solar farm that's 30 megawatts or more is semi-scheduled. And any battery that is 5 megawatts or more is scheduled. And actually, the new term for that is scheduled bidirectional unit. Okay. So you might hear people say BDU. That just means a big grid scale battery.
You talked a bit about the Fluence Digital part, especially the Mosaic team. Like globally, how big is that team and how much of that is focused on Australia?
The digital team at Fluence that works on Mosaic and the NEM is approaching 20 people now. So we do all aspects of kind of end-to-end customer journey stuff here in Australia. The people who design the product, the people who build the product, the people who sell the product, the people who deliver the product to customers are all based here in Australia.
Nice. And then, so I guess all that 20 people, is it a lot of data engineering, data science?
Yeah, we've got data scientists, we've got front-end engineers, we've got back-end engineers, we've got product managers on the development side, and then a whole team of, you know, energy traders and market experts and account managers help work with our customers to make sure they have a good experience using the software.
I guess, what does the Mosaic portfolio look like in the NEM? You mentioned the combination of renewables and batteries. What is that ratio?
Yeah, when AMS first started out in Australia in 2019, we started out working exclusively with wind and solar farms, largely while we waited for grid-scale batteries to get built. It was a very nascent market at the time. In 2019, there was probably only 3 or 4 grid-scale batteries at all. And it turns out bidding a wind or solar farm into the wholesale market here in the NEM is actually quite a complex game to play. You can't just leave a static bid in. Your wind or solar farm will lose money and or leave money on the table. And so we helped pioneer the idea of using algorithms and automation to help trade wind and solar farms, to help them maximize their revenue. They have quite tricky trade-offs to manage between avoiding negative prices and avoiding being constrained off when there's congestion in the system. And so today, fast forward to 5 or 6 years later, the vast majority of wind or solar farms in the NEM are using some form of automation or automated rebidding technology like ours. And we're working with a significant portion of the wind and solar farms in the market. And we're also working with a growing proportion of big grid-scale batteries in the market. There's today 18 operational grid-scale batteries that are using our software to help form, operationalize, and execute their own trading strategies. And we're working with a wide spectrum of different types of customers and different types of assets and different sizes of assets, which we could talk a bit more about.
So is that batteries across, because you mentioned scheduled, but then there's non-scheduled batteries as well. Is that across both those?
Yes, we're working with, of these, first 18 projects that have started operating and are using our software. Some of them are as small as 1 megawatt. Those are non-scheduled batteries. And some of them are as large. We're actually about to start working with the largest battery in the power system, which is the Waratah Super Battery in New South Wales. That's 850 megawatts of load that'll be bid into the market as a scheduled load. So we're really covering the spectrum there from big to small. The small non-scheduled batteries are interesting. They have some unique attributes. They're faster and easier to build, and there's less red tape and grid connection process to get those built. But they're tricky to trade for their own reasons. They don't participate in central dispatch by bidding into AMO for permission to charge and discharge. So our software plays a unique role, and it actually gives the battery its set point and tells it what it should be doing at any point in time. And the big grid scale batteries have to submit bids into AMO. Everything bigger than 5 megawatts needs to submit bids into AMO and ask for permission if they want to charge or discharge or sell FCAS and how much.
So if we look at the range of things that needs to get done in both, I guess, controlling, bidding, dispatch, what then is the role that Mosaic plays in that? What is the role of humans within that?
Yeah, almost all of the batteries that our software solution is involved with use some combination of software and human oversight to affect their trading. So we're working with a wide range of market participants. We're working with some super experienced global energy companies that have their own 24/7 trading teams. We're working with some new entrants, IPPs, who have never traded a dispatchable unit in the NEM before. We're working with some small developers who are building the first battery projects, who small ones just getting their feet wet with their first energy investments. And the challenge for us as a software company and a service provider is to provide a software product and a service offering that can meet the needs of this wide range of asset owners and customer types. And we've tried to build a really flexible software offering. Firstly, it's not just software. It's not just a software approach that we bring to the NEM. We provide all of our customers with a software product, but also a layer of services to support their use of that product. So we try and meet our customers where they're at. We have some customers that are not super interested and hands-on. They're pretty happy to let the algorithms drive most of the time, 90-something percent of the time. They kind of set and forget, and they check in with us every once in a while when they have a question, or we check in with them to see how it's going. But on the other end of the spectrum, we have some customers that are super interested in what's going on. They're in there every day with their hands on, changing things around, laying on their own trading strategies, giving the algorithm a nudge, giving it a steer, giving it a hard override. And that's all totally fine. We built this platform to let our customers trade their batteries however they want to trade them. We have several customers with portfolios. You know, the battery is not their only asset. They've got load position retail customers. They're managing their battery, not just for maximum wholesale revenue, but to manage their load position. We've got customers with network support agreements and contracts with network operators that require how the batteries operate at certain ways at certain times. And we've tried to build a really flexible offering of software plus services to meet our customers where they're at and help them grow on their journey.
Nice. And then that neatly brings me on to my next question, which is, what is optimization within the context of the NEM? We look at battery optimization in the UK market, in the US market. What does that mean here? Is it the same as auto bidding? Where does this terminology land?
It might be interesting to compare against GB, where you've got this term people like to use, an optimizer. And an optimizer in GB in general is almost like a managed service where the owner of the battery gives the keys over to a specialist firm that, you know, has developed its own software and probably has its own team of human traders. And in combination with the human traders and the software, they trade the battery and deliver the asset owner an outcome of revenue. And all the data is transparent, and that allows companies like Moto to make some pretty neat, you know, dashboards and leaderboards of which optimizer is performing the best. And it's actually, the landscape is very different here in the NEM. We don't consider ourselves an optimizer. In fact, I don't think there is a GB equivalent optimizer operating in the NEM. We see ourselves as a company that helps market participants, the traders of the batteries, form and execute their own trading strategies. So we don't trade the batteries for our customers. We don't control their batteries. We don't control their trading strategies. Empowers them to build their own trading strategy and execute it mostly autonomously.
Okay, interesting. And then, I mean, so what is it about the design of the NEM that supports that difference in business model, I guess?
It's interesting. I think one of the main differences is that a lot of the first battery projects in GB seems to be owned by like funds, infrastructure investment funds that don't have backgrounds or capabilities in energy trading and don't have 24/7 trading desks and experience doing that. So the market seemed to move towards kind of these specialist vendors coming in and filling those gaps. In the NEM, you might say the investor class has been different for the first crop of batteries that came in. In the NEM, the regulations are such that, you know, there's only one participant who can be responsible for the outcomes of the battery and settle with AEMO and is on the hook for compliance of bidding. And in general, in the NEM, we found that typically the owners of those batteries, but certainly the trader or the off-taker, likes to stay in control of the bidding and the associated, you know, compliance obligations.
Because I guess if we break it down a bit, so ultimately you mentioned that the NEM is essentially a dispatch system. And so I guess this changes some of the responsibilities that are needed in the act of controlling a battery. So is it right that a lot of it then falls on that bidding side? And so that's where this role of algorithmic bidding tools comes in.
It might be interesting to do a bit of history on algorithmic bidding in the NEM and how we got to this point. So I'd say that, you know, every generator in the history of probably any electricity market has had some form of software tool helping the trader of that asset, you know, form their bids, structure them correctly, and submit them into the market operator. And the NEM has been no different. Traders for decades have been using some form of tool to form and submit bids. When first grid scale battery came along in 2017, the industry realized, oh, wow, these assets are really flexible and they're really energy limited. And there's a lot of signals coming off them and a lot that's changing really fast. And actually, our software tools that we use to trade need to evolve to manage the speed at which these batteries need to replan their state of energy, reforecast their operations and signal them through to the market. And really all these tools are doing is trying to forecast market prices, plan the battery's operation through those prices over the next, you know, day or two ahead, how the battery is going to manage its state of energy, and determining the dispatch plan the battery wants. When's it going to charge? Should it discharge? When should it sell FCAS and how much? And then it turns those dispatch plan the battery wants into a set of economic bids, you know, price quantity pairs that could submit it to the market operator. The market operator accepts the bid. You're all good. You're executing your plan. If you bid too high or too low, the market operator doesn't accept your bid, you've got to replan. And fortunately, the NEM, being a very flexible market with almost no gate closure to speak of, lets you change your plan on a dime and re-optimize every 5 minutes if you've got your plan wrong.
Yeah, so the NEM's kind of operates entirely at this five-minute level, but you can essentially re-declare all of your bids pretty much up until the point at which that dispatch decision is made. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. And there's, you know, several rules about the way, the reasons you have to cite for rebidding, but there's so much changing at a battery every 5 minutes in terms of its physical availability that there's, that in itself is almost always enough justification to slightly adjust your bids. And yeah, the NEM's very fast moving. It's, you know, it's pretty well known that, you know, everyone always talks about volatility in the NEM. It's very well known, I think, that the NEM has volatile energy-only pricing, and that batteries historically have made, you know, a significant proportion of their annual revenue in a small number of days. That's all well understood. But what I think is, what really kind of puts the rubber on the road to me is just the fact that there's essentially no gate closure. And trader pushes the button right now to adjust their bid for the next interval. That's going to go straight through to AEMO. They're going to clear the market, and 20 to 30 seconds later, that battery is going to start ramping. So like, those bids have this immediate physical impact on the market. This isn't a day ahead setup where, you know, all you're trying to do is day ahead forecast the top four, bottom five prices. This is a, what do I want to be doing 30 seconds from now? Let me change my plan, update my plan.
I mean, because obviously one of the biggest constraints for a battery is state of charge. And so how difficult is it to manage that optimization in real time when you don't know what is necessarily going to happen in the future, but you've got this limited pool of energy to use?
Oh, it's super hard, but it just means you've got to be reforecasting, reoptimizing all the time. There's so many things that can cause state of charge to deviate from what you thought it was going to be. You know, the ancillary services here are fairly dynamic. Anytime you're participating in those, they're going to cause state of energy imbalances you were anticipating. Also, the market can change very fast. The prices can evolve very fast in the NEM. So you need to be continually reforecasting prices as flows on interconnectors change, as AEMO's supply and demand forecast change, as the wind and solar forecast changes, the market prices can evolve very rapidly. So it's important to be reforecasting continuously. Almost all the batteries in the NEM have some form of algorithmic or at least automated system helping them update their bids every 5 minutes. And almost all the batteries in the NEM will rebid 288 times a day, every 5 minutes. So it's very, very fast and very, very frequent.
And I was going to say, if anyone's ever looked at like the NEM bid data for batteries,
yes, it's a big database.
A lot of data there. We made that comparison to GB earlier. I mean, there's a lot of new companies coming into the battery space in Australia, in the NEM. We've got a lot of new systems coming online in the next few years. For those companies maybe new to the NEM, what is the biggest surprise? What would you highlight as the thing to look out for?
It's actually a really interesting landscape of who is not just owning, but who's controlling the batteries in the NEM. You know, Moto's the experts on the numbers and tracking this stuff, but today, what is it? Something like 2,000 megawatts-ish of operational batteries we've got. If you look at all the operational plus committed projects that are in various stages of construction, it's something like 10 gigawatts, right? 10,000 megawatts. And if you look at who's going to be owning and controlling, who's going to be the market participants for all this capacity, close to half of it is in the hands of brand new companies that are essentially new to the market, or at least companies that have never traded or bid a scheduled unit before. You know, they've never traded or been responsible for a dispatchable unit. And so there's a lot of new companies coming in who don't have experience or capabilities or deep benches of resources to do things like build their own bidding systems or run their own 24/7 trading teams on day one. And so there's a lot of new folks coming in who are, they've invested, they've jumped in, but they need some experience and some help getting their first battery projects going. And that's one of the gaps that we're trying to help fill in the market.
Yeah. And so for those companies coming in, you know, what do you typically see as something that they're not used to, maybe?
The comments we get from new folks, especially folks who are experienced operators of assets overseas, but have just built their first project in the NEM, is firstly, everyone's just surprised, the basic stuff, how fast the market moves, how quickly you can rebid, there's no gate closure. The fact that there's essentially no gate closure blows some people's minds. One of the things that has caught new entrants out and caught overseas, you know, investors by surprise is the role that grid constraints and congestion play at battery projects. So wind and solar farms, this is a well-understood problem for wind and solar investors and wind and solar operators. Congestion on the grid, your solar farm gets curtailed, that's bad for your revenues, bad for your business case. Lots of people focus on trying to solve that problem. on the regulatory side, we're trying to help solve that problem through the bidding process. But everyone understands the concept. When there's congestion, you get local price adjustment, you get constrained off, there's nothing you can do about it.
I mean, on that quickly, this local price adjustment is this thing which it's there, but it's not obvious. And so for me coming into the market, it was something that I wasn't wholly aware of. Do you mind just briefly just touching on what that is?
Yes, it's not a well-appreciated aspect of the NEM. Everyone knows the NEM is a regional or zonal market with five regional prices in each of the five NEM regions, but few people appreciate that the NEM is actually dispatched nodally. So in the eyes of AEMO and their dispatch system, they're actually dispatching every unit, dispatchable unit, at its individual connection point with its own local price. And so all units in the market are settled at the regional price. Everyone earns the same price, but everyone is dispatched based on their own unique local price. When you're submitting bids, you're actually submitting bids with reference to your own local dispatch price. So for a wind or solar farm in a congested area of the grid, and there are several congested areas of the NEM, of the power system, when there's congestion, all the wind and solar farms need to bid as low as they can to compete with each other for the right to access the limited amount of transmission capacity and the amount of generation they can get through to the load centers. And so that's what one of the things that our bidding system is doing to our Mosaic system is doing to add value. If you're for a wind or solar farm, usually the worst thing that can happen to you is you get your generation constrained off and you get curtailed. For a battery, it's actually very different. For a battery, the generator, when AEMO builds a constraint formula, the generator is in that constraint formula. The load is also in that constraint formula. So if you're a battery, you might get your generation constrained on when the price is bad. You might get your generator constrained off when the price is good, or vice versa. You might get your load constrained on when the price of power is very expensive. You might get your load constrained off when the price is good and you'd like to be charging. And this can and has happened to several battery projects in the NEM. The only way to manage this problem is with a bidding system that's got, you know, finely tuned logic and is paying attention to that local price, trying to forecast what it's going to be, trying to put the bids in the right place so that generators doesn't say get forced to buy power at $17,500 a megawatt hour, which is the market price cap, which has happened to some battery projects.
I was going to say, it's a bit of a wild concept. I mean, maybe if we break that down a little bit, because so what's actually happening there? So obviously there's a relative shortage of capacity in the market, so prices spike, but where the battery is located is behind an area constraint. Is that right?
Yeah, the best example of this is probably southwestern New South Wales, where there's several grid scale battery projects, but lots of generation capacity and only a few skinny transmission lines through to the load center in Sydney. And anytime there's an outage of one of those transmission lines, all that generation in southwestern New South Wales has to compete with each other for the right to serve the load in Sydney. And there's just too much generation relative to the amount of load that can flow through. And so they all have to drop their bids, their generation bids as low as possible to try and compete when the settlement price is good. And some of them lose out. Not all of them are able to get their generation away. What's worse for a battery is not just getting your generation constrained off, because that load is also in the AEMO's constraint formula. And AEMO is doing a solve to find the cheapest set of resources it can dispatch to balance supply and demand. Often to AEMO, it looks cheaper for them to dispatch your battery's load to make room for another cheaper generator to get its generation away. So you end up in this perverse situation where if you're not careful with your bidding and you leave your battery's load available to be dispatched, AEMO might dispatch your battery's load on at the market price cap in order to make room for another, your neighbor, to generate into that high price and receive that revenue. So batteries need to be really, really careful with the way that they place their bids and the way they manage those local prices and bid in response to them. You asked earlier about types of situations that have surprised new battery owners or investors from overseas operating their first battery project. So the fact that everyone's dispatched on their local price, but only settled on their regional price is actually a really important point to consider, especially when you're creating analytics around batteries and things like benchmarks and leaderboards. Batteries in New South Wales being a good example. A battery in southwest New South Wales, a battery close to Sydney, might as well be operating in different markets. They're not even living in the same NEM. They've got such different constraints. They've actually got access to different prices. So anytime you're looking at, you know, why did this battery do what it did? You've got to check its local price, because it may not have even been allowed to generate into a price spike.
And so we've got these five regions, but then within there, based on what transmission constraints there are, you can almost break that down into more subregions.
I think the point is that anytime you're doing analysis of, you know, why did a battery do what it did, you've got to look at its local price, because without looking at the local price, you don't know the whole story.
And again, I mean, if anyone's ever got some spare time, feel free to dig through the NEMWeb data sets to figure out what goes on in a single dispatch interval to diagnose this sort of thing. And I guess, like you said, it's happening every 5 minutes. And unless you're used to it, there's probably things out there which you don't see coming. So I guess if we look forward a bit, how do you see battery energy storage and that, you know, optimization bidding in the NEM?
We're going to have more and more batteries coming into the market. You're going to have larger and larger market share. They're going to be controlled by increasingly by as portfolios, you know, single market participants controlling multiple batteries and facing a new challenge that not many folks in the market face today, which is, well, how do I manage these multiple batteries as a portfolio? These FCAS markets are shallow. I've got all these batteries, all this battery capacity. How lightly do I want to walk in these FCAS markets, and how do I want to be using these batteries, and how do they complement each other? So we're busy trying to build some new and interesting optimization where you can, single participant could co-optimize multiple batteries in concert. They could do things like consider their aggregate impact on price elasticity in the aggregate, which is a new and interesting concept. You know, as batteries get larger, they have the ability to move the market, and trying to estimate price elasticity is a real challenge and something that almost any large battery is trying to manage. And as traders and build up bigger and bigger fleets, it's going to be a bigger and bigger challenge to manage. Another interesting emerging theme in them is we have a whole new class of assets that are under construction and in the process of being built, so-called hybrid assets, where you've got a battery, a big grid scale battery, behind the same connection point as a wind farm or a solar farm. And these assets are going to have the option of operating as if they were a single plant in the eyes of AEMO. And there's lots of new technical challenges on several fronts with bringing those to markets on the engineering side, the registration side, the grid connection side, but also on the trading side and the way these assets are going to interface with the wholesale market and the new complex things that bidding systems like ours are going to need to be able to do for them to help them get the right outcomes, to trade compliantly and to maximize their revenue is an immense new challenge that we're already busy working on.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the first of those systems coming online with these hybrid DUID registrations. I guess one other thing which we're seeing, you know, we've had the first of them coming online, is this thing called virtual tolls. And that leaves space for this bidding provider as well as the toll provider, in contrast to more traditional toll agreements. How do you see that changing the role that companies like Fluent are playing?
It's definitely an emerging trend. Virtual tolls are the flavor of the moment, it seems, and everyone wants to get one organized. The interesting thing with a virtual toll is it's a purely financial contract. There's no need to physically deliver that energy to settle the contract. And it's yet another very complex job that you need your optimization and bidding system to perform for you. So if you're the seller of a virtual toll, you are the physical trader of the battery who has sold a virtual toll to an offtaker. Each time you receive, you know, a nomination from your offtaker, you'll have this important decision to make, which is, do I physically deliver that nomination from my physical battery through the bidding process, or do I think I can earn more money by ignoring what the offtaker wants to do and instead doing my own thing with my physical battery and trusting that I'll make more money overall by doing that. And what we're involved with several projects that are in various stages of formalizing and operationalizing their virtual tolls. And we see our role is, you know, enabling and empowering our customer, the market participant, the seller of the virtual toll, to manage that toll however they see fit. So you could think of a virtual toll as a spectrum where on one end of the spectrum, you're risk averse, or your lenders have forced you to be risk averse, and you always 100% of the time want to physically deliver what your offtaker is asking you for. So you're back to backing your financial risk with your physical outcomes. And on the other end of the spectrum, you could decide to say, you know what, I'm just going to take the risk and take the gamble. And I think I'm smarter than those guys. And I know what I want to do with my physical battery. And I'm just going to ignore the nominations 100% of the time and do my own thing with the battery. Or you might sit somewhere in the middle. And so our job as a software provider and a solution provider to our customers is to help them figure out where they sit on that spectrum and give them the tools to trade where they want to trade on that spectrum.
Nice. I think we've got many, many new virtually told systems to come online. It's definitely something to see how it all breaks down in practice. Before I get on to my final two questions, I've got one other, which is, I guess, are there, when you look at other markets, do you think there are lessons that, you know, this trading market, the NEM, can learn if we look at parts of the US or the UK, Europe, or vice versa, the lessons which the NEM can teach those markets?
I hope there's lots of information sharing going on between market operators and power system operators as the energy transition steamrolls ahead. But it does seem like there's lots of lessons to be learned from Australia. You know, there's so many power system firsts happening here, things like minimum system demand and just the sheer volume of rooftop solar that we've got in the power system here. I imagine there's lots of eyes on Australia watching the way we proceed with many things. Thinking about the mechanics of battery trading, which is my world in battery market operations, there's a few lessons from overseas that I'd love to let the NEM to not learn and not adopt. You know, when I talk to my colleagues working on Mosaic in other markets in the US, in California and in Texas, the market operators there have put some tight restrictions on the way batteries trade and the way batteries forecast themselves, and the grid operator puts a bunch of validations on the way batteries can bid, and it puts, you know, our team and the Mosaic team and our customers in this funny position where we have to forecast our own SOE, and then forecast what the market operator's plan for our battery is and how it thinks it's going to operate the battery, and work around it. And we kind of need to plan around the market operator's plan for our battery. And it seems like market operators in some markets don't trust batteries to manage their own SOE and their bids compliantly. And it seems like market operators might be worried that storage operators could put the power system at risk by mismanaging their bids or mismanaging their energy or the way they're signaling their availability. And I think the experience in the NEM proves that battery operators, when they've got the right software tools, can do those things compliantly, because we've never really had any problems with that in the NEM. And batteries have never done silly things like get their load and their generation dispatched at the same time, or, you know, bid the battery available when actually the state of energy is empty. I'd like to see that aspect stay the same in the NEM, and some of those encroaching restrictions in the dispatch process not make their way here.
Are there any other markets that Fluids Digital are then providing these optimization services in, and how does this compare to what is done in the NEM?
Yeah. Well, the NEM is the first market that we brought the Mosaic technology to. Since brought it to California, where we're helping several battery projects, you know, form and execute their trading strategies. We've also brought it to ERCOT in Texas. Brand new, the team's just released a solution for MISO, which is the Midwestern part of the United States. And the newest thing we've done is we've just launched in Japan. So we built a version of Mosaic for Japan. My team has been involved in that here in Australia, which has been really interesting. The market in Japan, the size of the power system, the size of the market is 5 times the size of the market in Australia. And it's probably 5 times as complex to trade a battery in Japan as it is in the NEM. So we're really looking forward to getting stuck in there and helping some projects find their feet.
Okay, nice. We need a feature episode on optimization.
That is a separate podcast. That's a separate podcast.
So yeah. So lastly, is there anything you would like to plug?
Given the opportunity to make a plug, I'll make a plug for our sister software product we look after. Mosaic is our algorithmic auto bidding platform. We have a sister software product called Nispera, which is an asset performance management software for wind farms, solar farms, and grid scale battery operators. And it's for asset managers. It like hoovers up all the data coming off the SCADA systems and runs some pretty impressive big data analytics. It's doing some pretty cutting edge stuff around predictive maintenance, using machine learning models to analyze part data, component plant data, and help asset managers anticipate when pieces of kit might fail. The reason asset performance management software solutions for batteries is an interesting plug and a relevant plug is that it's really the next frontier in marginal gains for energy trading. So these asset performance management systems doing hardcore analytics, helping battery systems increase their tradable capacity, like their physical amount of energy they can make available, so you can really get the most out of your battery system when you're trading. So our team is busy right now linking those two software platforms together so that the insights that come out of the asset performance management software, Nistra, get fed in to the battery's control system so they can do things like rebalance their cells more efficiently so that the tradable capacity made available to Mosaic, our bidding system, can increase, which translates into more revenue, which is what all asset owners are really after at the end of the day.
Awesome. And so we always finish with the same question, which is, what is your contrarian view?
I'll offer a contrarian view, but I'm going to stay in my lane here on battery optimization and trading in the NEM. My contrarian view is that there's a perception out there that to have a successful battery project, all you need to do is build it and then bring in the highest performing auto bidding system available. And I don't think that's true at all. And I think it's a bad procurement strategy. Today, you know, any new grad with a modern data science degree and some experience with optimization theory and operations research techniques can spin up a optimization model that looks good in a simulation and achieves high performance in a kind of desktop environment. But you need a lot more than just a high performing optimization model to be successful trading a battery in a NEM. You need deep expertise around the new gritty nuances of how central dispatch works and NEMD works, local prices, cumulative prices, administered prices. You need to know how that all flows through to dispatch. You need to have really deep expertise on the signals that come off a battery and how does this signal function that signal and what does this mean for my available capacity when the signal changes, and even just knowing what questions to ask of the battery system supplier during that process is a, you know, we spent years and years kind of building up the IP to even know what right questions to ask. And then you need a team of people who's really committed to reviewing outcomes and improving the software. To be a good software provider and get good optimization outcomes, you need to be really committed to getting it right. It really takes, you know, bidding is really a lot more than just optimization.
Nice. I think that's a good way to finish it up. Well, yeah, thanks a lot for coming on the podcast, Matt. And well, thanks a lot for coming up to Sydney. And maybe I'll see you in Hobart next month.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome.